Okay, with that, we're going to go right into the main agenda. We have the opportunity for public comments. Anyone would like to make any statements about anything? No one? Okay. In the minutes of October 17, 2013.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Right away division, Mr. Beck.
Yes, sir. Today I have three requests for limited access changes that the board needs to consider. The first one is in the Richmond District on Temple Avenue in Colonial Heights. It's a request for a right-in, right-out break in association with South Park Mall Shopping Center. VDOT has reviewed it and determined that it will improve traffic and recommends approval.
Mr. Cole? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
The second item is in the Salem District. It's associated with the project to improve a research drive. It's to extend the limited access as needed for that project, which did have a public hearing and is recommended by VDOT.
Mr. Dana Morton?
I move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you.
And the last one is in the Bristol District. It is an old action coming from the 1960s and 1970s where the previous board had made some concessions to the mining of mineral rights, and this is to grant a temporary limited access break in order that minerals can be mined on an adjacent landlocked property.
Mr. Matt
has determined that it can be done in a safe manner. It's on the pound bypass.
Great. Mr. Matt?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Northern Virginia District, Mr. Moore. Mr. Moore, traffic was horrible out there today.
Yes, sir. I don't know who that district administrator is, but he probably ought to be fired.
Well, you know, it flows downhill. Me, to Mr. Garzinski, to you, to the commissioner, to you.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Secretary and members of the board. I'll try to be brief here. This is approval of funding or reimbursement from WMATA to us for a couple hundred thousand dollars. This is essentially a bus prioritization for signals. Last 10 seconds of a green time along Route 7 from Alexandria to Tyson's Corner. We've done this on Route 4, and what it means is if a bus is late, in that last 10 seconds of green time, it can do priority like a fire and rescue would be able to do and continue with the green. We have the ability that if that 10 seconds is too long and actually creates a problem for moving traffic, we can adjust that to 8 or 5 seconds, but we've had success on this in Route 1 in Fairfax County, and it's essentially approval of that, and it's something our technical guys can work through and make sure it works the right way. Are there any questions?
Any questions, Mr. Moore? Okay. Mr. Korzynski.
We move for the authorization.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Programming Division, Ms. Mitchell.
Good morning. The first item I have for you is additions to the 2013 through 18 program. We have two projects that are located here in the Northern Virginia District. One is a planning and project prioritization effort, and the other is the Dulles Air Cargo Passenger Metro Access Highway project.
Any questions?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you.
The next item I have is our monthly transfer list, and it's our usual transfers. There are two that I would like to point out. One is line 17 on page 2 that you heard Mr. Kilpatrick mention earlier about the 300 Garveys that you had previously conditionally approved. We just went ahead and put that on the transfer list. And then I do want to point out on page 3 on the less than 10%, row F, we do have a alternative fuels hybrid vehicle pickup in in Northern Virginia, and it's for $528, excuse me, only. And that's just to finish up the funding for this. This was an existing project, so it's not a new one. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this matter? Do you have a motion?
Motion.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Mr. Page.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Items 7 and 8 were addressed in the workshop this morning. I hope I've answered all the questions, but if there are any, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn the floor back
to Mr.
over.
Cole. Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Mr. Garzinski.
Second one.
Second.
No, no, no. Ms. Garzinski, you making the motion?
Yes.
Number 8.
Number 8. I thought we were still on the rail.
We are. Number 8.
Chris Williams, so move. Motion for the ECHO. What was it?
ECHO Energy.
ECHO Energy.
You have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Local assistance, Mr. Walton. I'm sorry, Mr. Miller.
I just think that the company needs to have more skin in this game.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walton. Make sure the record reflects. Local assistance, Mr. Walton.
Mr. Secretary, members of the board, you have before you a resolution dealing with the Economic Development Access Grant in Greensville County. This is one of the identified mega sites. The staff would ask for your approval.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. Scorey? Traffic engineering.
To the board. In front of you, we have an action item on the two truck restriction on Route 193 and Route 686 to request to Fairfax County.
Any questions? Mr. Carson?
Yes, this is requested by the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors. Georgetown Pike is a scenic byway and is also one of the more dangerous two-lane roads in the Commonwealth, and I strongly support this action and make a motion.
Second.
I second.
It's the most dangerous road, and they like it that way.
With no trucks on it.
I know. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Thank you.
Scheduling and contract.
Secretary, Commissioner, members of the board, the November 21st letting had no bids over $5 million, so there's no action necessary. There were two resolutions in October granting the commissioner authority to approve design build projects. One is Sickland Road, which the commissioner has approved for $12 million to Shirley Contracting. The second design build project, which is the active traffic management system on I-66, is still in the process of being prepared for award. There's been no action at this time.
What's going on with the 66?
There were a few protest issues which have been resolved, and there's some scoping issues which have been resolved as well, and it's moving forward.
Okay, so we're moving forward.
Correct.
Thank you. So we have nothing, we don't need to approve anything?
No actions for the board at this time.
Thank you very much. New business. Anyone has any new business?
I've got one item, Mr. Chair.
Rich.
You kind of reminded me of it yesterday.
Excellent.
It's your fault.
There you go. Obviously, we're sitting here right now, and the important part of the Golden Crescent, the economic engine of the Commonwealth here in Northern Virginia. And we've heard about the dire situation for funding. There isn't any. So we have nothing left for new construction. So with the dollars that we have left, we've got to spend them in a very cost-effective way, or we're not going to be serving the taxpayers. We've got this very, very important Dulles Rail project, which serves the technology center here. And the Commonwealth really isn't putting in much, frankly. This has been on the backs of the poor folks, the men and women commuters, are paying this toll. I know the governor remarked on that just isn't right.
there's too much of a burden on the toll road users. And we, as you recall, recently moved about $250 million out of the mega project fund onto Route 29 in Charlottesville, which the Taxpayers for Common Sense just listed again is one of the largest boondoggles in the country and listed it as a road to nowhere. Recently, the truckers looked at the last design and said they can't use it. The grade is so steep at the southern terminus, and we heard from the University of Virginia it's fouling up UVA. So this is a road to nowhere, and we can't afford it. So I hereby move that we take $100 million from the 29 project and put it on the Dulles Rail project that'll help this Commonwealth and help its economy. That's my motion.
Okay, any other questions?
I'll second it for discussion.
You can't, well, first off, you can't. It's completely inappropriate to bring up.
Well, first off, the money, you can't just transfer these types of funds from highway funds over to Metro. Secondly, Mr. Rich, you have no concept of what's going on with the Dulles Rail project, and I really don't appreciate you raising it in that context, okay? I mean, this is something that I've had to live for the last 2.5 years of very, very difficult issues in this project. There's some things going on with that project right now that I'm privy to that are, you know, we're going to have some very good news very shortly. But you can't just, I mean, we've already awarded a contract, right? We've already gone to, have we signed a contract?
Yes.
So, and we've already gone to close. You can't turn around and then turn around and take the money away from the project, or we will be some serious legal issues. That project is supported by the MPO, the 29 Bypass. It's supported by the local governments. It's supported by everyone who lives down there. I mean, the vast majority of the people support that project. And it's been, we've already spent $50 million, in fact now more, as we've moved forward. And, you know, it's simply from so many different procedural issues to bring up a resolution like that now, it's inappropriate.
Well, let me say this. The county recently had a vote and it failed on a tie. The city is opposed to it. The vast majority of citizens I talk to are opposed to it. Our own 29 study says, quote, it serves no transportation purpose. So my concern is, and I have been watching the Dulles Rail thing very, very closely, and I know how important it is to the economic health of Northern Virginia and the entire Commonwealth. And I know that the Commonwealth is not putting enough money into it. And we can't expect the poor working folk that pay the tolls on the Dulles Toll Road to fund this thing. We don't have enough skin in the game. And it's just, to me, not right. With the limited money that we have, we've got to spend it properly. And that is my concern.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Mr. Sir.
If I understood right from the earlier discussion, the rest of the Commonwealth is subsidizing Northern Virginia when you put in transit. You're talking about transferring more money out of the rest of Virginia to the transit project in Northern Virginia. Is that correct?
I'm not sure we are subsidizing. I'd have to get the facts.
I thought I heard that
the amount of money that Northern Virginia sends down to Richmond is tremendous.
That's the general revenues. They're not transportation costs.
But let me say this. Don't we understand the importance of Northern Virginia as an economic engine?
Well, it's not just Northern Virginia. I mean, there's an economic, you called it the Golden Crescent. The Golden
right.
Crescent means Northern Virginia
right.
through the Fredericksburg District down to
the
Norfolk
the
area.
I'll amend the motion to add $100 million out of that same pot to the Midtown Tunnel. I'll be happy to do that. Because there's another unfunded project that the tolls are too high.
Thank you.
So I'd be happy to put another $100 million in the Midtown Tunnel, definitely. I agree with you on that. The Tidewater, I guess you don't call it Tidewater anymore. Hampton Roads is another economic engine that is underfunded. We shouldn't be using this money on a project that's been labeled the same as that thing up in Alaska. Ridiculed nationally as a road to nowhere.
I've been around and haven't fallen off a turnip truck lately. People label things all the time, and it depends upon the perspective from which they come. Somebody who doesn't like it, we're going to label it one thing. And, you know, people, we talked about the fiscal cliff earlier. Some are calling it a fiscal cliff, and others are calling it nirvana. So, I mean, it's,
but our own
from where you sit gives you a different
perspective. Our own study on 29 that we paid for, $2 billion.
Mr. Rich.
Said it was a road to nowhere.
Any other?
Call a question, yes, sir.
All those in favor of Mr. Rich's, I don't even think under Robert's rules he can bring a motion up like this and action for his time. No, it's not. This
is second by Alan.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other new business?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Gorzynski.
Could you give us an update on the VRE, the subsidy on the tracks? I know it's a hot issue, and the people who sit on that board, and they have a budget meeting coming up in another week and a half.
Yeah. I'm going to ask, Ms. Drake is, Director Drake is not here. Basically, when this is an issue that's come up with VRE, for many years we have been providing the lease payments for the use of VRE's use of the CSX and Norfolk Southern rails through the bonus equity money that came in through the federal government. Essentially, the bonus equity program has gone away. VRE, obviously, and it got wrapped into a general VDOT administered program. The money is there. It's just that it is not, not as visible. VRE's been very concerned about this because initially, VRPT, they weren't completely familiar with the way the program has been restructured. And so there's a little bit of miscommunication. I think we've worked it out now. Ms. Drake is going to go back to VRE and show them that we'll be able to provide the money. It will be before us. They do not need that money until July 1st. So she's going to come back, outline how it will be before the CTB with the adoption of the new six-year plan and the approval of next year's budget. And I think it's going to be resolved. It's satisfactory, I think, to everyone.
And I'm glad to hear that. I had been contacted by some board members from VRE, and that their upcoming budget meeting was their concern. So thank you.
Yeah, so it is, again, we haven't been as exercised about it because we recognize that it's going to take the action of the board. We're not going to do anything special. We're going to make sure it gets in, though, our budget that's presented to you all in the six-year plan program update. Yes, Mr. B.
Want to thank the board members again for supporting the Route 29 process. But more importantly than that, and it's something that we really have to watch out for as a board, and it's not a class warfare, but it is going to become a brutal area warfare, in that we need it for my area. No, you can't have it for your area. Let's move it up here. My area is in worse shape than you are. This project is more important for me than that is for you. And we've had a meeting with one of our legislators, and we're bottom. Lynchburg District's 2% of spending. We're by half, not the lowest of any district. We're talking to one of our staters. Said, "Well, you need more money. Well, you talk to the legislators out there in Hampton Roads and get it from that $200 million they're spending on the tunnel out there." And then you got people up here. Well, you take it out of that $200 million they're spending down in Charlottesville. Why don't we come get it out of Bristol and the coal roads? Oh, there's just a couple of coal miners down there. That's not going to help anybody in Northern Virginia. That's not going to help us out in Hampton Roads. Well, Hampton Roads money's not going to help you down in the coal fields. And we come here as members of the CTB and start doing that on every single little project that the state is putting together, that the governor's put together over 4 years with all the experts here, with everybody in VDOT that he works with, to come up with a comprehensive transportation plan, a comprehensive transportation plan, not just one little area of the state. And I must have, you folks have been fantastic. I think we've done an excellent job of these massive projects, of putting them on good projects, of putting them across the Commonwealth to benefit every area of the Commonwealth for economic development in every area of the Commonwealth. But I've got to caution all of you, and most of you are doing an excellent job of it, but we can't come in here with that kind of mentality. It's not healthy. It's not good for the Commonwealth. It's not good for the Transportation Board. We've got to decide on our projects. Once we've voted on them and decided on them, there's got to be some sense that they're final so that we can rely on them. And I know most of you have done that, but I just would caution the members. And then we get into it. Northern Virginia's taking the money. You know, we're all sending it to Northern Virginia. That's not a good attitude from us either. Everybody's an economic engine. Northern Virginia's an economic engine. Hampton Roads is an economic engine. The coal fields are an economic engine. You've got to remember, we represent the entire state, comprehensive transportation. And if we forget that, we're going to run into some big problems down the road.
Mr. Lane, and then Mr. Miller?
Yeah, okay.
I do Mr. Miller, then Mr. Lane.
Fine, I'll do Mr. Yes,
Mr. Miller, then Mr. Lane.
Two things. First, on December 11th, we will be making a historic trip that hadn't been made for 34 years. I was one of the last riders of the train out of Norfolk. And trip I think was taking a bunch of folks from down our way coming to Petersburg. Hopping on the train with some of the rest of us, and I think the Amtrak board's on that train, the governor's on the train, I presume you're going to be as the chairman. But I just wanted to do a little shout out to you and your group and the administration. Thelma Drake, Director Drake, she already had a good reputation in Hampton Roads, and I swear she could be the mayor of Hampton Roads tomorrow if she wanted to be. There's not an elected official down there that doesn't say great things about what you all have done in terms of speeding this process along. It's remarkable, and you're to be commended for it. I want to thank you.
Well, thank you. And actually, you know, I've run some interference for him, but really, Director Drake and Mr. Page have done an exceptional job in working. Lots of things had to make this come together to make it happen, and quite honestly, there are a lot of things, day-to-day things with the railroads and trying to make it all match up and glitches that occurred, and they really did an exceptional job in pulling it all together.
Of course, you know Kevin's been standing behind the curtain pulling lots of levers and pushing buttons through. The second thing I'd like to just make our members aware of, I've been involved in a group that is a combination of all the mayors and chairs of the Urban Crescent, which is defined in Northern Virginia through Richmond and Hampton Roads, as well as all the chambers of commerce and the state chamber. And they're sending a letter off, I think probably right yesterday or today, to the governor, lieutenant governor, and members of the General Assembly. I'm just going to highlight five things that they say in the letter. It's basically a plea to get them to fix our transportation problem. They say five important things in terms of what they want to see happen. And they go through a little bit of discussion about what our problem is and how long it's existed, et cetera. But it says in their suggestion, it says, we believe proposals to solve the transportation funding crisis must meet the following principles. One, the solution should be statewide. Two, the solution requires broad new transportation revenue enhancements. Three, all transportation revenue should be dedicated to transportation in parens, roads, transit, intercity, rail, bike, and congestion facilities purposes only. Four, the solution may include income or other tax offsets so long as a sufficient amount of revenue is generated to address needs. And five, the solution must include maintenance and operating needs of existing infrastructure and transportation facilities as well as road and transit capacity expansions. They're talking about the needs of $3 billion a year for the next number of years. That's a pretty high number, as you might guess. But in any case, you get a letter signed by every Chamber of Commerce and every Board of Commissioners chairman and every mayor in that crescent, that's a pretty clear signal, at least from those groups, what they think. And my two cents, and I understand politics, I've been involved in it for a long time, I'm concerned, and I'm urging my board members to join me, I'm concerned that because of political considerations, and some economic considerations, but a lot of political considerations, that we'll embark on something that will be insufficient to fix our problems. And the political capital that will be necessary to be expended to get that amount of money or that amount of help will be substantial, and it will not be able to be replicated in the near future. So we'll get some extra money, however much money that is, and it will not be close to what we need to solve the problem, and we won't be able to go back again because politically it would be unacceptable. So I'm just encouraging all y'all, and I'm a fiscal conservative. I do not believe in just spending money and raising taxes. And this letter doesn't tell them how to get the money, doesn't tell them where it comes from, doesn't tell them anything. It just says, here's what we need. But I'm also a guy who's a business-oriented guy who understands that if we don't change the oil in the engine, and we just continue to run the engine, it's going to cost us a hell of a lot more money than changing the oil in the engine. So while it's a bunch of money, and I'm opined on this in terms of the return on investment, and some earlier comments on the access funds. I just am not a believer in skimping on investment that is going to keep the goose alive, the goose that lays the golden egg. And I'm afraid what we're going to do is we're going to starve that goose, continue to starve that goose slowly, and then the goose is going to die, and those businesses will continue not to relocate to Virginia. We'll continue to drop in the rankings because of our infrastructure problems. And all you had to do was drive around here yesterday. This is the absolute worst. We've got it sort of bad in Hampton Roads, but you feel really good in Hampton Roads when you come to Northern Virginia. We just cannot afford to not keep the economic engine working. So I encourage you all to do what you can do with your legislators. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips. Mr. Lynch? Okay.
Just quickly, a couple of things. I'd like to thank Mr. Brzezinski and Mr. Sterling. We have met as the V-Trans subcommittee, and the draft report has been issued for public comment, and that will be coming forward at another meeting in the future once we get public comment in that. Second of all, just for my colleagues who don't know, the referendum in Virginia Beach for the expansion of light rail was overwhelmingly approved, so I just put us on notice that may be a project we're dealing with. And I'd just like to conclude with the reference to the examination of the Virginia Public-Private Transportation Act by James Regenball. I want to just publicly state here that, number one, I have never had any coercion or undue influence on any vote that I've ever had, and number two, I have seen, as Mr. Peek's remarks, that we do serve the state first, and I've seen little, if any, in regards of the districts. And I think that's a point well made. So I just want to point that out. And Mr. Secretary, I appreciate your transparency in keeping us up to date on these PPTA projects. So just want to go publicly and state that in rebuttal to this report that came out.
I appreciate that. You know, they wrote an entire report and never talked to us. So, any other questions? Ms. Fisher.
I just wanted to echo what Mr. Miller said. It's been a remarkable effort by the members, business members, and political members of the Urban Crescent to work together to try and bring to bear some pressure on, I guess, the General Assembly. And whatever we can do as individuals and collectively to talk to our legislators to get funding and get them to turn around would be amazing. I should encourage that.
Mr. Peek.
And I follow that as well. I've brought up before, but for 6 years at least, I know Virginia has been number one or number two in that business ranking as the most business-friendly state. Going back to Kim Kane, talked about it. I can't remember if we had it under Mark Warner or not, but we've been number one or two for just a number of years under different administrations. And now we've moved to number three. And the sole reason we moved to number three was because our transportation went from 10th in the nation to 33rd in the nation. That's how they ranked it. And if you don't think that's going to affect our business prospects down the road, when you start moving from 1 to 3 to 5 to 10, that's going to be a problem. And it's up to us to work with the people we can work with to convince them of that problem and do what we can. The problem is we can't raise any funds, and that's just the way it is, but we can certainly talk to the people that do. And again, what Mr. Miller said, you know, probably need $3 billion. $1 billion would be nice, but we are way behind. We're going to run out of funds in 2017 based on latest statements as far as new construction. And if we don't, well, if not us, if the legislature does not raise some serious funds or address these issues somehow, I don't see how they do it without some new revenue, but if they don't address it somehow, Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads are shutting down. We're going to drop in the business ratings, and then it's going to be a continual slide. So it's something that they have to address, and I think it's up to us to explain our concerns. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Grayson.
Following up on Mark's comments, I think it really is incumbent upon every member of this board to be conversant with where the lines cross. The commissioner can certainly give you that backup information and keep talking about tolls, because when the maintenance lines cross and we keep saying it's a toll road or no road, maybe the message will finally get out that don't complain about tolls, don't complain about maintenance if there's not the intestinal fortitude to step up and identify a funding source that stays in the transportation coffers. And we have to be the ambassadors of that, each one of us, every time we have the opportunity to speak in public. And even if it's in front of the legislators, so be it, because they have to hear that loud and clear. I know the governor will do everything he can, but this goes beyond just the one term of the administration currently. You know, it's well into the future, several administrations out. So keep sounding. Keep being the messenger.
Chairman, if I can just add one thing. You know, I agree with so much of what was said, but I think in order to gain the credibility to get new revenues, you must spend what you have as wisely as you possibly can, or it'll come back to haunt us. Just, and we can't, you know, you can wish for more money, but we're dealing with the here and now. Just like you're making your own home budget. You may want a BMW, but you can't afford it now. I mean, you've got to prioritize. Maybe you need a new furnace better than a BMW. So we have to be very frugal with the taxpayers' money that we have now. I know a lot of folks in my district will not support new revenues because they're not too happy with the way the current revenues are going. But that's just a little aside there.
I'd just like to comment. Look, we got it that the Charlottesville people, a lot of them, don't like that the project. But we didn't do it. Back to the district. We did it for what's best for the state. That's got to be an alternative to Route 81. You can talk to all those people about those trucks and what have you. And so there's bigger parameters than simply a constituency. And I think that's what Mr. Peek and Mr. Miller were all talking about here, is what is best. And I would suggest you read the V-Trans study and what the major transportation arteries are, and what we're trying to do, the efficient movement of goods and services. So we hear you. I have the same issue in Hampton Roads. There's a group of people who don't like every project, but that's not our responsibility. I just would like to point out, I think that's why you're not seeing some of the support from the other board members, because we're looking at it from a little different perspective.
I don't want to belabor this, but you know, I was not consulted about this project. We could have sat down together with the administration, with this board, and actually come up with a bypass that would work, that would go clear up to the airport and might be more cost-effective. That was completely sidetracked. And we resurrected a 20-year-old thing that doesn't work. So, I would have been happy and so would all the community. And it's just not the Charlotte people that are upset. Talk to Delegate Ed Scott from Culpeper. He doesn't want that money spent. There are other problems on 29 that need to be dealt with. So it just isn't a bunch of people in Charlottesville.
Okay.
But anyhow, that's
any other questions,
too much on that.
Comments? Great. At this point, we're going to adjourn the meeting. We'll have lunch back here. Box lunch is at 11:30, and the conference starts up at 1 o'clock. Thank you all very much. And we are planning now for March to be in Lynchburg.
Okay.
Thank you all very much, and we'll see you around during the conference. Meeting's adjourned.